Okay, hi. Welcome to Women Writing Men. This is episode 38. I'm Delaney. I'm here with Mariah.
Hello.
Hi. This week is the culmination of a great quest.
Of a six-part series.
To find the most attractive man in fiction through this one series where...
We think neither of them are very attractive. But we just keep it going.
We were like, what are they going to do? What's going to happen with these boys? And then we didn't like what happened with the boys.
No. But we're going to tell you all about it.
Yeah. This week we're doing A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah J. Maas. It's the third book in the ACOTAR series.
Yes. It is not the last book, but we are not reading anymore.
Yeah. So we Mariah texted me and was like, there's more. Do you want to read more? And I was like, no.
This is the last one, so if you all really loved this, you'll have to read on your own.
Yep.
No more commentary for this.
You'll just have to read quietly and, like, stew in it, which is what you already do, but you get to hear other people.
Stewing with you.
Yeah.
All right, so can we just get into this?
Yeah, let's just go. We're not going to do a summary of the previous books because...
It's too much.
Yeah.
And they're so weird.
And if you are just starting at this episode, like, you saw six parts of a series and you were like, five, that's where I'm going to start. Then you knew what you were getting into and you deserve it.
So we're just going to go straight into a summary of this
one.
Book.
Yeah.
Which is hard, but I'll try. So I feel like I didn't introduce any of the characters last time. Doing this, except for, did I even say Farrah?
No names.
I said Tamlin.
Yeah.
And I said Tamsin. Okay. All right. Let's try. I can do better.
Oh, actually, important note. Mariah is on a personal quest to convince me to rank Reese lower.
Yes.
In this coming episode.
Our friends and husbands have been following along with us as we've read this book, this series. And one of my friends is like, you need to make him lower. He is a bad man. And so we're going in today.
Yeah.
And I have a mission. We're re-ranking them, by the way. We also didn't really say that.
Yeah, sorry. So we've already ranked them. At this stage, Tamlin is at number 4 on our list, which is very high.
Yeah.
And Reese is number 6.
Yeah.
Like, they're both very high on the list.
Yes.
And we'll see what this book does for them.
Yes. Okay. So, summary of this book. So this book starts with Farrah in the Spring Court. In the last book, she decided that she was going to pretend to love Tamlin again and that she was brainwashed by Reese. And she's going to go there to destroy him and all he loves. So that's how it starts. She's basically successful at it.
Yeah.
She takes everything, including his best friend. Like, he leaves Tamlin. Tamlin has nothing.
Yeah.
And she goes back to the Night Court, and they're preparing for war. And so there's a big section of the book where they prep for war, they train, she learns how to fly, they start gathering the other courts, like, align with us. And so we get to be introduced to a lot more characters that are new from, like, the Dawn Court and the Winter Court. There's, like, these courts. So that's going on. And then the war starts, and we basically get to read about... Fairies fighting fairies at war. Who will win? Highburn or every other fairy court in the world?
Yeah. And also, Highburn wants to enslave humans. And
also has a very strong personal vendetta against Farrah.
Yeah. And then the courts of...
Prithian,
they are like... We don't want to enslave humans. We just want them to be chilling below the wall.
Yes.
In their tiny little...
Well, they have the whole rest of the world, too.
Yeah.
Highburn wants all the humans.
Yeah.
But there's a little... Prithian is an island, and at the bottom is a little patch with humans in it. And then there's the rest of the world. But Highburn wants to invade all of it.
Yeah.
But he's starting with Prithian.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I did a pretty good job.
I think that was really good, honestly.
Do we always just need to record this twice?
Yeah, we kind of do. Sorry, just in case I leave this in for you guys to know, we started recording and the audio levels were a little fucky, and I was like, oh, should we just redo it? Because we were only 8 minutes in, and then we did, and we did a way better job.
Way better. Okay, so first thoughts about this book.
No. I was not into it for a lot of reasons. I'll get into those later, because yes. It's kind of like, I need
to tell the story to understand
what was fundamentally wrong with the story, because that was really it. Like, it's well written. I like the characters are good. The plot is there's a lot. Like, it has a lot going for it, but it all kind of like collapses in on itself and doesn't really like do anything it's trying to achieve.
Yes, like you leave. I finished the book being like, I wanted more from this.
Yeah,
like, and this could have been
not. You don't want to read another one.
No. Like, I wanted more from this book, which is why I'm not going to read another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it just left me, like, there were just things that I was like, this is, as an author, you know you needed, it's like, I don't know, I'm not an author. And I'm like, I know you should have done these things differently.
Yeah.
To hook us, or to whatever, to make us feel these things. And you chose to not do that.
And the book, like, just suffered so much for it. And I feel like a lot of it was, I really think the author did not plan
three books. Yeah.
And that it shows. Yeah. Like, she might have had inklings of what was going to happen, and she kind of, like, put little breadcrumbs throughout, but, like, it was not Harry Potter level of, like, I know what's going to happen.
Intricacy, yeah.
Yeah. And you really felt it.
Yeah.
And it felt just, like, you know, pasted together. And you're like, what? Why did that happen?
Yeah. And the only other thing I would say is that I did enjoy the story more. Oh, it's so hard to say that. I don't know if I can say I enjoyed it. I thought that 3 had more of a story than the second book.
Yeah.
I thought the second book led to literally nothing. It was like the last 20 pages of the book and you're like, here we go.
Yeah.
Where every other 580 pages, I was like, what are we getting to?
Yeah.
Where in this book, I knew war was coming and I was so sure war was not going to come and that the fourth book would be the war, but she actually gave us the war. So I was like, at least I was like, okay, we're not reading nothing to get to the war in fourth book. We're actually going to get the war and we'll get the results of the war,
which yeah. But
I prefer that over nothing happening, but didn't really prefer how it all unfolded.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready to hop into it?
Yeah.
So there's like a, Mariah, do you want to describe, how you feel about those first scenes?
Yeah, so there's a pre-chapter, again. Mm-hmm. I think that in this pre-chapter, it's, like, Reese's experience of the war that happened 500 years ago.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's so stupid. I have no idea why she thought, let's put a pre-chapter in this book. Or prologue?
I think calling it a pre-chapter makes more sense. Because, okay. Like, a prologue is, like, for the story reasons, this one didn't.
There's no story. That's why I don't want to call it I don't know what it is. Cause I was like, why is this needed? And I honestly, I mean, I only remember because I think I went back to look, but I was like, I'm not actually going to read this again. Cause I read it. And then I was like, this is dumb. I'm not going to take notes. This doesn't have anything. This isn't going to be about the story at all.
No. And it wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. It's just Reese looking at, like, he's looking for bodies amongst the dead, and I think it's supposed to be, like, war bad.
We don't need to be reminded about that. We all know.
We all know war bad. I don't know what. Or it's supposed to be, like, Reese has trauma. But, like, he doesn't even, he is the only one in this story who really doesn't act like he has trauma.
No, exactly.
Everyone else has PTSD except him.
Yeah.
So it was weird to be, like, look, Reese has PTSD.
I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Part one,
my first note. Oh, yeah, she's back at the Spring Court, and it's time to figure out what the point of Tamlin is. And we did not. So in this first chapter, she's back at the Spring Court, and she's, like, walking around, and she's, like, pretending to be all traumatized from her time at the Night Court.
Yes.
She's like, they were so cruel to me, and he, like, tricked me and made me think that I wanted to be with him, but I didn't actually.
Yes.
And then, in her head, the whole time, she's like, I can't believe that Tamlin would think that Reese would do that. Like, what kind of creep would think that Reese is such a bad person when she's actively lying to him?
About Reese. And we all know from the other books that Reese wants everyone to think that he's a terrible elf fairy.
Yeah, so then it's like, you guys have spent so long, like, crafting this lie of, like, what people think you're gonna be.
And then when they believe it, you think, how idiot, how stupid are you?
Yeah, that you could possibly believe that. And it's crazy.
But they've literally, like, when you say they've been crafting this lie for a long time, they have been crafting this lie for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Thousands. Every father. Some of the Night Court dudes were evil.
Yeah.
But their plan is to either be evil or pretend to be evil.
Yeah.
And for thousands of years, this is what the Night Court
has done.
Ruler has done. And now she's like, how dumb are you that you think he's evil?
And also, like, Reese, like, murdered some of Tamlin's family. Like, she's like, how could you think he's a bad guy for that? So it's weird.
It's insane. And again, I mean, my point in this was, I get that Tamlin is an idiot, Farrah. Like, he did get in leagues with the evil villain. Mm-hmm. Dumb. He's a dummy.
Yeah.
But also, you're a dummy.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
You're all dummies here.
Yes. Also, Ianthe, that's how we agreed to pronounce her name.
Yeah.
She's around and, like, apparently they talk about her being a rapist, because I was like, oh, she's a rapist, I guess?
Yeah. Well, we already had the rape vibes from before.
But she's apparently been, like, really pursuing Lucian?
Yeah,
Lucian?
Lucian. Yeah. I just want to point out that one of her thoughts is, I want to burn this manor to the ground.
Yeah, she's really aggressive. I might have put the dumbest line in the first chapter.
Okay, what is it?
I don't know what the context was, because I didn't write it down, but, like, her and Tamlin are clearly fighting, and she tells him to don't ever do anything like that again, in reference to getting her sisters turned into fairies. And I was like, how on earth would he do that again?
He would be like, hybrid, turn them back into humans so that I can turn them into fairies to piss off Farrah. Yeah. Yeah. She's just, like, all over the place. And, I mean, like, I keep going back to the first book where she's so upset that she's killed those fairies. And Reese says to her, it's so good that you're upset, because we as fairies, we don't have human hearts. We don't have that compassion. And I just feel like from that moment on, her compassion just pooped out the window.
Well, she stopped being human. So.
I know. But I think that, again, what was Sarah, why did he say that to her then? It felt like it was going to be this really important thing that she would always have compassion.
Yeah.
And then she gets here and she's like, I want to burn this to the ground. And I was like, innocent people live in this manner.
Yeah. You, like, and, like, she's so manipulative.
Yeah.
Like, so manipulative. And it's crazy to me where she's like, I hate manipulative people. Manipulative people are terrible. And she just is that.
So manipulative.
And I feel like Sarah J. Maas kind of implies that it's like, she's the High Lady of the Night Court, and she's manipulative now, and she's just embracing that about herself. And I'm like, that's cool and everything, but, like, I don't really like it. Like, yeah. I'm not, like, yeah.
No.
Keep manipulating Tamlin.
No, I don't like it at all. I also, I feel like, I wrote about Ianthe too. I'm like, I'm so confused about the whole Ianthe thing is what I wrote. I'm like, I was like, she's the one who betrayed them? I didn't know
that. Yeah.
But it was actually, Ianthe's the one who told Hybern about where her sisters live. So it wasn't even Tamlin who did that.
I know.
It was Ianthe.
I know. It's so weird that Sarah J. Maas did that too. Because, like, Farrah proceeds to be such a dick to Tamlin this whole book. And it's like, why did you absolve Tamlin of the sin? Because then it just makes her, like, it just makes Farrah look even more of, like, an asshole.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, choices. And then I went even further, because this is what I said. She's pissed at him for selling out all of Prithian to retrieve her. But she literally killed innocent children to save him. And I was like, huh. So you were allowed to go to the ends of the earth for Tamlin, but he was not allowed to go to the ends of the earth for you.
And he's not, like, we don't know this yet, but, like, spoiler, like, this whole time I was like, Tamlin's not,
obviously not evil.
No, he's not. So it's so weird that she's, like, so...
Yeah, or like, you fell in love with him. Do you really believe that he's just evil now?
It's mind-boggling. Like, her switch off of Tamlin. And then also, like, Sarah J. Maas wasn't, like, didn't do enough to make Tamlin an asshole. Like, no. He is in this book an asshole, but he's not, like, an asshole in terms of I murder innocent people.
No.
He's an asshole in terms of he's just, like, kind of dickish.
Yeah, because he's, like, you are a bitch.
And she is. So he's entirely justified. Oh, okay.
Okay.
We're not even on chapter two.
I still have more to say, though.
Holy shit, we gotta go. Like,
okay, my last point. Right away in chapter one, I was like, she's gonna turn Lucien against him.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't like it. I think it's stupid, not fair, and I was mad.
Yeah. I don't like it either. I was so upset. I was like, Lucien has been friends with Tamlin for like 500 years, and this girl comes in and just ruins everything. Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. That's the key points.
Okay. Okay, guys. Are you ready for chapter two?
By the way, there's 82 chapters.
Holy shit. Fuck. Okay. Some evil people. The niece and nephew of Highburn come. We're just going to call them niece and nephew because their names are Prince Dagdon and Princess Branagh.
I don't think I wrote their names at all. I call them the twin commanders.
Yeah, okay, good enough. They're twins. They were a little weird.
They were having incest. That's what you mean by they're a little weird.
Yeah, I wrote, I bet Tamlin is secretly good, right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he is.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I immediately was like, how could, last war, he fought for the humans. There is no way that he is down for Highburn doing this.
I know. So she's going to take the twins to the wall because the twins are trying to do something. And she's being a good wife to Tamlin, or acting like a good something to Tamlin because they're not married. So Lucien knows that she is being manipulative and shitty right now.
Yes. But he is letting it happen because she knows where Elaine is and he mated with Elaine in the last book.
And I hate that he mated with Elaine. Like, the thing is, I don't hate the pairing. I think they could be good together as individuals. I hate that they're mated and now he's like, well, my best friend of 500 years doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All that matters is this girl I looked at one time.
Yes, because that's it. I don't even think they spoke words to each other.
No.
Yeah.
They just looked at each other. Yeah. And now he's like, well, this really changes everything for me.
Yeah. I also pointed out that the way that she is being manipulative in this whole section of the book is exactly how Rhys manipulated her in Under the Mountain.
Fascinating.
And I was like, what an interesting, like, I mean, we hated what Rhys did to her under the mountain.
Yeah. No, I don't think they're bad for each other, Farrah and Rhys. I think they're good. I don't know if, like, I find Rhys attractive.
Yeah. But if, yeah. But I was just like, you are literally using their emotions against them to make them do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Which is what Rhys did to you. He used your emotions, but for you, is what Rhys would say.
Yeah.
To get her to do what she needed to do. And I was like, it's so interesting. Like, I actually thought it was an interesting choice by Sarah J. Maas, because I was like, she learned how to manipulate
from him. Yeah.
And now we're seeing
her do that.
Her recreate the trauma she experienced
for someone else. Yeah. Which, why would you do that? But okay.
Yeah. Because she's not healed from her trauma. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I wrote.
Don't worry. She heals from her trauma.
I wrote, hurt people. And that's what she's doing.
That's good. Anyway, this book, if you guys think this book is going to go in like a, wow, look at her journey from, like, healing from her trauma.
To something better.
That's not how it goes. No.
Durian is coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
Durian is a human who is sided with Highburn, and I immediately wrote here, why would he be with Highburn? he is a human.
And Highburn is trying to enslave humans. Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird one where they were like, no, he went crazy. He hates
everybody.
It was still like, Amarantha worked for Highburn. Amarantha tortured him for 500 years. He likes Highburn? Like,
because Highburn's going to help him find Miriam. That's the whole thing. And I'm like, I hate Miriam. I hate this stupid backstory that matters so much. Yeah. But they keep bringing it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chapter 3. They're going to the wall, by the way.
Yeah.
We're not really talking about what's happening. We're just talking about our feelings about all this. They're going to the wall to find a way to tear it down.
Yeah, and she's been hanging out with Lucien
a lot.
Because
she doesn't want to hang out with Tamlin, I guess.
Yeah, because she doesn't like him. She wants to kill him. And she's like really pit. Like she keeps hanging out with Lucien
to pit Tamlin and Lucien against each other. I hate it.
I hate it so much. I
hate it.
Like I hate what she's doing to Lucien. Like she,
which is exactly what Rhys did to her and Tamlin under the mountain.
Yeah, it's gross.
Ugh. I hate how Lucien calls her a good friend.
That pissed me off so much.
I don't know. When did that happen?
He says, it might be in this one. I can't remember. No. But he's like, you are a better friend to me than I ever was to you. Yeah. Terrible. Mariah's shaking her head.
Terrible. Okay. They're going to the wall. She has a plan. She's listening to know their plans.
I wrote like next to nothing about what's going on. So
I wrote that she chats with Lucien. I said, he's cool.
Good.
He regrets that they're working with Highburn. He also tells her he knows that she wasn't really abducted by Rhys. And he also knows that Jurian is trying to bait him. I don't know what Jurian's trying to bait him to do. But I was like, I like Lucien. You're a smart man. You're like, you're observing everything that's going on. Like, you know what's up. I like you.
I love Lucien. I've loved him since the first book. I don't want Farrah to be with him, but I want him to have happiness.
Oh, this is it. This is when he says it. So during the Spring Festival, which the Spring Festival happens every year, Tamlin has to basically
go sleep with somebody
in a cave.
Yeah.
To make them have a fruitful spring. He refused to do it this last year because Farrah was abducted in his mind.
Yeah.
So he didn't go. And Lucien went in his place and Ianthe made Lucien
sleep with her. Yeah. Which, again, like,
and yeah,
all women who are evil are just really rapey
in this book. So Farrah at this point says, I wish I had been there to stop that from happening. I'm sorry that happened to you, Lucien. And then Lucien says, you're a better friend than I ever was to you.
Oh.
At this moment.
He's wrong.
So that was his dumb moment. There was his dumb moment. Because his point was, she could see, like his point was, Farrah knows that what was happening was hurting Lucien, and she says, I would have stopped it. But when Lucien saw what Tamlin was doing was hurting Farrah, Lucien didn't stop it.
Yeah.
And that's...
He's wrong, though.
Yeah. Okay. Alice is smart. Oh,
she
Alice.
Knows. She knows what she knows Farrah's doing.
She knows that Rhys isn't evil. She knows that Farrah is...
Happy.
Happy. See, again, this reminds me of the fact that there are good people here and Farrah wants to destroy it all.
Okay, chapter 4.
Yeah.
So, as part of Farrah dismantling Tamlin's power within the Spring Court, she, like, organized... Like, Ianthe had organized this ceremony thing, and Farrah, like, messes with it so that the sun hits her and she glows because she has glowy powers from the Dawn Court. And then all the people of Tamlin's court are like, wow, Farrah's amazing. She's a god. Like, sent from the gods and blessed and everything. And, hold on. I wrote a line here. Did you?
No, I just have a rant again.
Oh, okay.
I like my rant. I think it's a good one.
Okay. No, you go on your rant.
So, I was just... My comments about this whole summer solstice. First, this is... It's now been a year since the first book. So, that's how much time has passed. And this was... I wrote, this is the chapter in the first book that sealed Tamlin as my number 4 spot.
Yeah.
Like, he was so great here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so sad that this is happening again with this awful Farrah.
Yeah.
Because this is gonna, hey, I'm gonna hate whatever is about to happen. She spins, but again, she spins that whole experience in her mind. I'm like, stop this. You can say, it's fine to be like, you know what, I did love him. But what she says instead, she's like, Lucien and Alice both knew that I was struggling, but hid it from Tamlin to spare him. And she spins it into them, like, not saving her. And I'm like, that's bogus. If you're unhappy in a relationship, you do something.
Yeah.
You are the person who needs to step up and do something. And they were, like, trying in their ways. I'm like, I understand that friends shouldn't, like, let bad things happen to you. But in this world, Tamlin is their High Lord.
Yeah.
They have to obey him. It's just, and I get that you have to sometimes rebel. And Lucien tried. And I'm like, didn't try. And so I'm like, bogus. If you're unhappy in a relationship, you have to do something. You can't wait for his friends or his maids to do something. Cop out. Even the fact that Rhys saves you is a cop out. You are a coward. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
And that is my rant.
That's so aggressive.
That's so aggressive.
But it's so valid. Like, it's so valid. Like, she was just like, I have PTSD and I can't escape this relationship. It's Tamlin's fault. Like, it's not a good situation for you to be in, but, like, it's not, like, you have to get yourself out of it. There's no one else who's going to do it. But, yeah, I wrote that she's, like, hanging out with Tamlin and, like, pretending to be all in love with him.
Yeah.
And she's like, I had to remember to laugh when my hands were within strangling distance of his throat. And I was like, Farrah, can you chill? Like, anyway.
I know. Chill.
Yeah.
Chapter 5.
I wrote, what the fuck? I don't know what happened. Oh, she makes it seem like she's...
stupid cheating thing. So she pretends to have a nightmare and then, like, runs to Lucien's
bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, makes noise dampening stuff.
And she wears her, like, sexiest pajamas.
Yeah, because she knows Tamlin's going to come try to sleep with her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to sleep with him. So then she's, like, runs in her sexy pajamas to Lucien, who is just chilling. He's not doing anything.
No. But she's, like, crying, and she's like, I had a nightmare. So he, like, comforts her.
Yeah, and then
Tamlin walks in.
Yeah, and then Tamlin's mad at Lucien, obviously.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, my gosh, they're, like...
Getting with each other.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so gross.
But I didn't even understand. I'm like, Tamlin, you know that Lucien's made with Elaine.
Yeah.
Like, why is this, like, be smarter.
It was just so manipulative on Farrah's part. And it was so, like, cruel to just put Lucien in that position.
Ugh, it's terrible.
Like.
And literally a chapter ago, he was like, you are...
a good friend to me.
Ugh.
And she's not. Like, you wouldn't do that to you.
I know. And I was like, why is this your... why in your head where you're like, this is the way I'll destroy him. This way.
By, like, taking his one friend. Like, oh, it was so icky.
It was awful. Okay, yeah. Chapter 6.
She goes to look at holes in the wall with Lucien.
Yeah. Ianthe is trying to make herself more powerful than everyone thinks she is.
Yeah.
Lucien is talking about how Tamlin went crazy while Farrah was gone.
Mm-hmm. She shares a tent with Lucien.
Okay, also...
Tamlin's not here.
Yes, and she wants it to get back to Tamlin. Lucien also... I can't with her. Lucien talks to her about while she was with Rhys, like, Tamlin was desperate to get her back. And they were trying everything. They were trying to, like, come up with plans. And it was Ianthe who suggested, make a deal with Hybern.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm like, why are you so repulsed by him? And then he talks about how that letter she sent him, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The letter that was so terrible.
Yeah.
Like, sent him into a spiral. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, of course it did. Because you are not kind.
Yeah. And then also, Lucien sort of, like... he, like, low-key reveals that him and Tamlin, like, fully plan to betray Hybern.
Yes.
Like, and it, I don't think it's, like, implied enough, because clearly Farrah doesn't pick up on it, but, like, it's very obvious to the reader that Tamlin is not an actual asshole. The whole thing's crazy to me.
Okay. Just one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jurian doesn't believe that Rhys is bad either, because Jurian and Rhys
fought together. Yeah, in the old war.
He actually says that he thinks that Rhys is one of the best Fae around. So Jurian suspects that Rhys and Fae are still mated and that Rhys has unleashed Farrah on the Spring Court to, like...
Yeah, he knows what she's doing with Tamlin. Yeah,
everyone knows what's up. Everyone knows.
Ugh.
Except for Tamlin, I guess.
Yeah. And then this is chapter 7. There's some, like, Children of the Blessed, which you may remember from eternity ago. They just think fairies are cool and good.
They're humans.
And then the twins...
kill them.
Mutilate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chapter 8.
Yeah.
So Tamlin's mad at Farrah and Lucien, probably for sharing a tent or something dumb that
Farrah... No, they sent the bog after the commanders.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They
to retaliate for killing
And he's so justified in this.
Tamlin?
Yeah, like, because he's like, I'm trying to get in the good graces of Qyburn as part of my plan to
betray Qyburn. He's not mad at them because they are going against Qyburn. They're mad at him. He's mad at them because he's like, we need to get Hybern's trust.
And you're not doing that.
No.
Yeah.
But he can't say that because Qyburn's commanders are at the house. Like, they're playing a very dangerous game.
Yeah. And then, so another thing she does, similar to her being facilitating this Lucien, scene thing, is she, baits him into exploding and yelling at her and, hitting her and stuff. Which, not hitting her, he, explodes and then stuff hits her and she, doesn't bother shielding herself from it.
Yes.
And, this part was so, it reminded me, you know what it made me think of? It made me think of, the Amber Heard trial. It's, if the woman... baits you into it so hard and it's like, hit me, and then she walks out of this meeting where he exploded
and she's like, he hit
and
me.
she's got this mark on her face and she's like, oh, my poor body. And I'm like, you're the strongest woman in the whole land.
Yeah.
So it just felt so icky in terms of now Tamlin is abusive and now I can't support Tamlin. Because, you know, no matter what bullshit she was pulling, he still shouldn't attack a person that he cares about.
Yes.
Or is in a relationship with. So I'm just I hate this. I hate it so much. I hate you're doing this, Farrah. It's just, ugh.
Yeah, and then she does one more thing in this chapter, which was super complicated. But Ianthe staged an attack by these monsters and... something happened and they got in because she manipulated one of the sentries to not be at his post. Mm-hmm. And Farrah knew all of this was going to happen. And so she basically created a situation where Tamlin had to pick between Ianthe
and believing his own sentry person.
Yes.
Who had been manipulated by Ianthe into doing this thing. Yes. And he's still trying to look good for Qyburn because his plan is to betray Qyburn.
Yes. So he goes and... to pick Ianthe is to pick Qyburn.
Yeah.
So he picks Ianthe and Qyburn, and now he's lost the trust of
all of his men. And it's so crazy. Anyway.
So that happened. Okay, chapter 9.
Yeah. Alice leaves because she's like, this court seems like it's going to burn to the ground pretty quick here.
Yeah. And I said, Farrah is basically manipulating Tamlin into evil so that she can conclude he's evil.
Right? It's so irritating.
She's going to peace out, but she spots Ianthe trying to rape Lucien again.
Yeah!
She's like, they're in the woods. They're at the wall again, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, it's time to go.
Yes, yep.
But she hears, Ianthe. And, yeah. Actually, you know what I was talking about this. I wrote this in my notes earlier, but I didn't say it. The reason why I was confused, I didn't realize until this book that she was actually a rapist. I thought she was just promiscuous.
Yeah.
And that she gave off, I really want to sleep with men. But I was I thought that they could turn her down. But no,
apparently they can't.
And, when Farrah walks in, Lucien is tied to a tree.
Yeah.
Why is she so powerful?
I don't know.
Lucien has powers.
Why is she so powerful and so rapey? Yeah. It's so weird.
So... I was like, yeah, okay, so she's a literal rapist.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, had gotten the impression, oh, she's just, promiscuous. She, whatever. Yeah.
She makes men uncomfortable because they don't want to have sex with her, but she's, like...
Yeah. She's a little creepy.
Yeah. But I think that Rhys told Farrah, he went into his room and she was there naked and was like...
Yeah.
But then Rhys walked away, so I was like, oh, okay, not rapey.
No, it's just... It's just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But no, she's a full-on rapist now. She's escalated.
Yeah.
So
Farrah is like, oh man, I was going to escape. Fine, but I guess I better stop the rape.
Yeah. And then, so then she goes to do that, but then the bad guys see her, the twins, and they're all like, ooh, got you now. Because they see her, she is torturing Ianthe.
Yeah. Like, she breaks her hands, and she also uses her, like, mind control powers to be like, you will fear me for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and you will...
can never, ever stop fearing that I'm coming for you.
Yeah, and you can never sleep with anyone, and you can never, like, do anything. And it was really fucked up. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't think rape is cool, guys, but I also don't think, like, weird levels of torture are cool either.
So the twin commanders see all of this.
Yeah.
And they also knew she was trying to escape or, like, trying to peace out or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're like, now we'll capture you and take you to Highburn.
Yeah. And also they've been, like, secretly feeding her these special apples that have Feybane, which, like, takes her powers away.
Yes. So her and Lucien fight them and kill them.
Yeah.
But now they have no powers.
Yeah. And I was like, I want Lucien to be loyal to Tamlin, not his stupid mate that he looked at for 1 second. But no, he's loyal to his mate. And
yeah, I was like, he's going to join the stupid Night Court, but I feel sad.
Yeah. So
that was the end of part one, which was called Princess Carrion. Why is it called that? What's a carrion? Is that the thing about, like, eating dead things?
Yeah, carrion is, like, dead rotting flesh. So she's the princess of dead rotting flesh.
Nice.
Yeah. Part two.
Cursebreaker.
Yeah, so...
why is it called that? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, so they camp, and they're going to the Autumn Court, and then Lucien, like, figures out all the manipulative things she's been doing, I think.
Okay. They fight, and she says that Tamlin's Court is... what she did to Tamlin's Court, he deserved it all.
Yeah, and so she tells Lucien she wants Tamlin dead, and he does not stand up for Tamlin. Which is crazy to me, because he knows that Tamlin is, like, doing this to betray Highburn. Like, he knows Tamlin is not a bad person, and it's crazy to me that he just...
is like, okay.
Okay, yeah, he probably deserves that. So then they talk about stupid Elaine, which is just dumb. And then they walk a long time, and then Lucien's brothers find them.
Yeah, this part was pretty boring, honestly. Chapter 12 and 13, I put them together.
The brothers
beat them up a bunch.
Yeah, no, the brothers also point out that she, like, has been cuckolding Tamlin, and I was like, finally someone fucking puts a name to the weird kink thing that's happening right now. Because, yeah, that's what she's doing. And then... sorry, I need to complain again about how the author is treating Lucien, because they, like, huddle in this cave for, like, body heat, and I'm just like... stop. Don't make Lucien do this with her. She's so icky bad. Chapter 13. So, yeah, the brothers come. They use, like, these ice powers. Or she uses ice powers because from the Winter Court.
Yeah.
To, like...
because she gets her powers back.
Yeah.
It's been a few days now. She has her powers back.
Yeah.
She uses it to fend them off, and then Cass and Azriel.
They show up. And they save her and Lucien.
And they don't kill the brothers because she wants them as allies for the potential war.
And then she's... but then everyone is going to know how, like, she has all the powers of all the courts, basically.
Yes. If only, I think, Eris saw. So they're like, will Eris tell?
Yeah, well, because if Lucien's dad finds out...
he'll kill her.
He'll kill her because he doesn't want anyone to have his powers without his consent.
Yeah. Chapter 14?
Yeah, and then so Cass and Azriel take... her and Lucien to the townhouse in the Night Court.
Yeah, and they bang. Like, Reese and her bang.
Yep.
And Reese, the only thing...
he licks her tears again.
Oh, is that the thing he does?
He does it again.
Is that the thing that last time you were like, it's something he does that I think is really weird?
No.
No, it's not that.
Not that.
Okay, well, he does weird things. More than one.
Yeah, he licks her tears, though.
Reese has been spying on the queens, the evil queen. Well, the evil human queens from last time. That's the big news from him.
Yeah. Reese is, like, kind of a dick to Lucien because he's like, oh, I don't know if I can trust you because you're Tamlin's man. Buddy. And I'm just like, why did Farrah bring him here? Icky.
Yes.
Why?
But again, and I'm like looking at Lucien and I'm like, well, of course he doesn't trust you because Reese has done such terrible, evil things.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lucien is like, these are evil people because that's the vibe that we've been projecting.
Yeah. I'm like, you smart boy. I love you.
Yeah.
I'm like pretty sure that Cassian made it with Nesta but hasn't told her because complicated. But I'm like, they're made. Yeah. It's clear.
Yeah.
He's like obsessed with her.
Also, okay, I wrote a line here which someone must have said it. I don't know who it was. but it's Farrah did not dishonor or betray Tamlin. That's an actual line that was written. And I think it's in regards to, like, because her marriage didn't go through when she started being with Rhys. Like, they're like, look, she was never, like, two-timing him. And I was just like, she did now. Now yeah. She is most certainly dishonored and definitely betrayed him. And I was just like, who even gives a shit? Why are you even saying that? Because you clearly don't care about, like...
about him at all.
Who cares if you cheated on Tamlin? Yeah. You, like, destroyed him. Like, it bugs me so much. That, like, the lines of, like, Sarah J. Maas's lines of, like, we can't cross that line. So weird.
I wrote a whole quote about Elaine, which I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really important, I guess. Which was just about the kind of person that Elaine was. I guess I thought it mattered. Elaine had always been gentle and sweet, and I had considered it a different sort of strength, a better strength. Maybe it's because I was looking at her and being like, she's so much better than stupid Farrah.
Yeah.
To look at the hardness of the world and choose over and over to love, to be kind. She had always been so full of light. Perhaps that was why she now kept all the curtains open, to fill the void that existed where all of that light had once been. I don't know. I don't know why I thought that was so important. Obviously I did. And reading it, I'm like, wow, I like that you think that this is beautiful in Elaine. Why don't you try to exemplify smidge of it, please? Yeah. And yeah. Elaine has lost that. That's the other point. She's very, very depressed. Because she's a fairy and because she was supposed to marry a human and the human who she was supposed to marry hates fairies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, her wedding is, like, coming up. Like, the day that she's supposed to wed. And they're going to leave Lucien at the house that the sisters are living in. And I was like, why would they do that? That seems like the dumbest idea.
Yeah. He could just take Elaine and then he could go back to
family. They're like, don't talk to Elaine. Don't talk to any of them. You're not allowed on their floor. I'm like, he can do whatever he, like, I get that he has to, like, should listen to you. But if you aren't there, he can do what he wants.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. I was like, obviously they should not be living in the same house, but okay.
The other thing I was going to say about this is that they mention, I'm mentioning this, guys, and this is the only mention that's going to happen until a little bit later. They're like, wow, we haven't heard from Dad in, like, 3 months because their dad was off on a training thing.
Yeah.
And his daughters have now turned into fairies and he has no idea.
No.
And they're like, yeah, we haven't heard from Dad in 3 months. He's probably still trading. And I was like, you guys aren't worried he's, like, dead somewhere? Because, like, how on earth would you know he's alive?
Yeah,
like,
they don't know. I mean, they said it was a long trading trip.
But still. I was like, how long do you wait before you're like, oh, he just died at sea?
Yeah, it's true.
And it's so funny that they mention it at this point, and then, like, that's literally the only mention of their dad.
The whole book?
Until the other mention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have more. Farrah is an idiot. What chapter are you on?
I'm going to be on 16.
Okay, me too.
Okay. Tell me about how Farrah is an idiot.
So they're planning for war, and... they're talking about that they think that Nesta and Elaine are going to be important in the war. Specifically Nesta, because they think...
she took something from the cauldron when she did the cauldron.
Yeah. And then Farrah goes, no, no, we can't involve them. And then Amryn goes, isn't that what Tamlin did to you? And isn't that the reason why you, like...
we're so mad because you weren't allowed to be involved in things once you were turned into a fairy.
And I was like, thank you. Hello. Of course. Like, literally, why was Farrah doing it? Because she loved her sisters and wanted to protect them.
Farrah makes no sense. Farrah acts like a 19-year-old.
Yeah, she does. I mean, Amryn points it out and Farrah does go, oh, you're right. And does decide that she needs to, like, let her sisters decide for themselves. So she does. But I'm like, if Amryn wasn't there, you would have done exactly what Tamlin did to you.
Yeah.
Exactly. I hate you.
Yeah. And then, so then Mor gets mad at Amryn for, like, saying that to Farrah.
But Mor is an idiot.
I know. I was like, no, I agree with Amryn. 100%.
100%.
Yeah.
I also had a little issue again with Highburn's people. We talked about it last book. Farrah wants all of Highburn's people dead. And I think it's so stupid because they don't know anything different. They have been controlled by a dictator for 500 years.
Yeah, and they've been trade isolated.
purposely by him to make them starve.
Poor. So they're desperate enough to go to war for him again.
And so she's like, all of Highburn's people want human slaves because, but I'm like,
because they're just evil.
I'm like, and it's they're like, no, not just evil.
They're desperate and been fed propaganda.
And they just want to be prosperous again.
Yeah.
And Highburn has told them the way to that is human slaves.
Yes.
It's not the way, but it's the way he has told them and pushed down their throats for 500 years while starving them.
So that's what they think.
It's so stupid. There's also Miriam backstory.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it.
Okay.
Chapter 17, they want to meet with all the High Lords because they need allies in the coming war.
Yeah.
Lucien, like, kind of advises about how to do meetings with the other courts. And I was like, can he have more to offer than that? I don't... Ugh. Can he be badass like everyone else in the Night Court is like, I'm the most powerful of this. And I'm like, can Lucien just be that too? And then can we treat him better maybe?
Yeah. Lucien is starting to see that they act like normal humans and like...
Yeah, they're not like evil plotting creatures the whole time. I'm on chapter 18.
Yeah.
Oh, I wrote the scent of him.
Of Rhys. Which one? Okay, I didn't write it.
Yeah, he smells like citrus and sea.
I think that was a different smell than before.
Yeah.
His smell changes.
And why would he smell like the sea?
Well, the Night Court is near that rainbow that's near the sea. Water.
I know, but like citrus and the sea sounds like what the Summer Court guy should smell like.
Yeah, it's true. The Night Court should be like
stars.
Stars.
And then also they ask Nesta for help with the war.
Yeah. And she's going to train.
Yeah, she's going to train. Chapter 19.
See, Liz is literally, like, we had so much to say about some of these chapters, and some of them, it's nothing happens.
Yeah. I'm also hoping to fly through so that this can vaguely be half before we have to cut it.
But there's nothing else to say, you're right.
Yeah.
Chapter 19.
Cassian is mad that she didn't tell them
about her plan to go to the Spring Court,
Is fair. And that she was the High Lady.
Which is fair.
Yeah. Because he's like, we have to serve you because you're High Lady. I also was like, why is she High Lady? But whatever. not that I don't think there should be High Ladies. It's just that she is literally like 19 years old and was a human like and 6 months ago. Yeah. And she's just like too dumb.
Yeah.
She's like it's like you made an infant princess and then you're like, what do you want to do?
Rule. Let her rule.
Let her go.
And that like that's his point with her being High Lady is like, we are meant to protect you. And you went somewhere where we could not protect you, and you gave us no warning.
Yeah.
Like, you did us a disservice as your people.
Yeah. And then I wrote, Cassian is being all overprotective. And she's like, really? Like, this is perfectly fine. But when Tamlin does it, it's evil.
She's also going to learn how to fly.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but it really grossed me out.
Her wings.
Her wings. And, like, the way that it worked, I didn't like it. It was weird. Like, she can't do it, and they're really heavy, so she drags them around, and I was like, ugh. Like, I guess I was picturing it, and I was like, ugh, it just seems like it'd be gross to see.
It also seems so weird, because, like, just the way the magic works, like, she can do, like, anything she wants except lift her wings. Like, because she can shapeshift and have the wings.
She has weak back muscles, so but she can't like, lift the wings.
But it's like, why don't you just shapeshift yourself to have stronger back muscles?
Plot hole.
Like, I could understand, like, her not knowing how to control the wings, but it seems weird that she couldn't just shapeshift to have muscles that can control wings. Anyway.
Chapter 20, they're going to the library to find out how to... They're trying to figure out another way to stop the cauldron.
Yeah.
Because they tried before, it failed.
And then she's like, I want to talk to the bone carver, who is that guy that lives in the prison and is some sort of ancient being of sorts. And she's like, I'm going to offer for him to get him home so that then he'll help in the war.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so... Like, it did nothing for me, her just getting these weird ancient beings on her side, and that was, like, win the war that way.
But yeah, well, again...
It's because she has no other skills.
Yes. But I mean, thinking, again, about the ancient beings that fight for them in the war, it was pretty anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
Because the war took, like, 10 pages.
Yeah. But she, like, spends a lot of time being like, we gotta talk to the people, we gotta negotiate with the people. Get the ancient beings. So there's also another ancient
being at the bottom of the pit at the library.
Yeah.
But we don't know what it is yet. But Cassian said, never go down there.
It's very spooky.
Yeah.
I, like, missed chapter 21.
Chapter 21, she has a nightmare, and Amarin is training Nesta.
Chapter 22, they go to see the bone carver.
He is an old god.
And he appears to her as her son again.
Yeah. Which we now know. We didn't know that before.
Yeah, but now we're...
She realizes now, for the first time, that is my son with Rhys.
Yeah. Which is weird, but fine. We also find out the bone carver, the weaver in the wood who she had to go get the ring from, and Nesta and Amarin are all, like, part of the same ancient blood thing. Like, they all have weird ancient powers.
And there's one other.
Brother. There's one other.
Brother that we haven't been introduced yet. Is it the thing in the pit? They call it a brother, but and the thing I always thought the thing in the pit was feminine.
Yeah, there's also the thing in the pit. It's also ancient. Everything, there's just some ancient gods roaming around.
So yeah, she wants the bone carver out. Amarin's gonna need to help him get out.
The bone carver is like, if you want me to help you fight in the war, then you have to bring me the Ouroboros,
which is a mirror.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, okay. And then, yeah. So, Farrah goes to see... Are you ready for chapter 24?
Yeah. I started with by saying, dumb. I don't know why, but that was...
Tell me.
I said, Azriel or Cassian have to stay behind while they visit the Hewn City. But that didn't happen last time. That's what I thought was dumb. Because they fight about it. I remember that. They're like, I want to go. And I was like, no one went. They all went last time. So why are you fighting this time?
Okay, I have... All this stuff with Elaine and Lucien.
Yeah, the sisters and Lucien are moving into the townhouse with them. Elaine is talking in riddles, which is new. I'm worried about her.
Yeah.
And then Farrah does the...
She reads his mind.
Yeah.
So Farrah can read people's minds. For some reason, she really rarely does it.
Yeah. She tried with the twin commanders earlier.
But they were also mind readers, so they blocked her. Yeah. Anyway, so she... Lucien is like
talking to Elaine.
Yeah, and she just like goes into his mind and like sees the whole interaction from his perspective. And
this is the author's cop out way of giving us everyone's perspective without giving them chapters.
Yeah, and I was like, it was so disrespectful for her to do that to Lucien.
Yeah,
it bugged me so much. And then she doesn't apologize to him or ever tell him that she did it. She just tells Rhys, and then Rhys is like, well, are you going to do it again? And she's like, no.
I didn't like it.
And he's like, okay, good. That was disrespectful.
She does conclude, though, that he is good.
Yep.
Because his thoughts were all good thoughts, which wouldn't have been surprised by that.
Oh,
I don't know why you second-guess Lucien.
One of the icky thoughts that she read that, like, pissed me off is he's like, oh, I thought when I went to Tamlin's court that it would be like it is here at the Night Court, that, you know, we'd have this big group of nice friends. And it's just like...
That's what he thought?
He thinks that.
That's not even true, Sarah J. Maas. Tamlin did have friends. Amarantha came and forced him into that curse, and Tamlin had to send all his friends one by one to die
in
the human realm. He used to have a bunch of friends, and they all sacrificed their lives for the greater good.
Yeah. It's crazy to me that Lucien, like, would think that, and that Sarah J. Maas is like, yeah, Lucien thinks that.
No, he doesn't.
He wouldn't.
That was a Sarah J. Maas flaw.
Yeah, so then Lucien and the sisters go to the townhouse.
Yeah. Nesta also has flame eyes at some point.
Yeah.
In this encounter. She must have gotten mad at someone or something.
Yeah.
And then it confirms that she is death.
Yeah.
Which, spoiler, means literally nothing. In this whole book.
Yeah, death is actually not really a concept in this book.
Chapter 25.
So yeah, they go to the Hewn City to talk about war and also maybe to get the Ouroboros, but I don't know if they ask for it at this point.
No, she does. She does find out where it is.
She finds out it's in the Hewn City, I think.
And then the guy was like, get it whenever you want.
Yeah, but it'll drive you mad. It'll
drive you crazy.
Yeah. And then... Eris walks in, who is Lucien's eldest brother.
Well, before that, to point out how terrible of a person Kyr is, he's like, I'll probably side with Hybern unless you give me Farrah to sleep with.
He's just like, he's like not even like fun evil. He just like makes choices that are just weird and dumb.
And so then Rhys, who knew that that was what the guy would have wanted, was like, I have a backup plan. Eris from the Autumn Court. Now you can continue.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, because Kier, who is Mor's father, he just wants to torment Mor. That's like his whole, that's what he likes to do in life. So then Rhys is like, look, Eris is here. Because Eris found Azriel spying in the Autumn Court, so then they had to team up with Eris. And then Eris is, like, good, apparently.
Well, this is what
there's, like, this whole backstory. Eris says,
I'm a good guy, I've actually done lots to help, but it's all been under the radar.
Yeah.
But I said, this is Akatar. He probably justifies all the evil he's done and said, it's evil for good. All my evil is good, just like Rhys did.
Yeah. Yeah, so so Mor gets really upset with Rhys for siding with Eris.
Yes, even though Eris and Kier agree to terms, they're all gonna fight for the night for Prithian against Tyburn.
Yeah,
and Mor is pissed off.
And I was like, this doesn't even make sense. There's like no reason she should be this upset with Rhys.
It's because he caused her trauma.
I know
they caused her trauma,
but like it wasn't even Eris. Anyway.
Well, it was Eris who she was supposed to marry.
Yeah, and then he was like, I don't want you. But, like, it saved her because she didn't want to marry him either.
Yeah. It's true. I said, everyone is mad at each other. Mor is mad at Rhys. Amarin is mad at everyone. I don't know why.
Because they talk to Amarin about going to see the Bone Carver. And the bone, and then they're like, in order for the Bone Carver to be released, he'd have to go. Why did they even say this? They were like, in order for the Bone Carver to get out of the prison, he would have to, like, be bound into a mortal body, because that's what Amarin did, is she basically, like, took some girl's body, and that's how she escaped.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen!
Yeah, what does happen?
He just gets out.
I just assumed that they did put him in a body, and that he was just a little kid running around the war.
I guess, but they never talk about it
at all.
It was so weird.
I also said that Elaine is insane.
Yeah, she's going crazy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, have her go get the Ouroboros. She's already crazy.
Yeah, her. So chapter 28, that's where I am.
Yeah, Feyre talks to Mor, and Mor is fine. And then the healer says that Lucien should talk to Elaine.
Yes, they get a healer, because something's
wrong with Elaine.
Yeah. And the healer's like, there's nothing physically wrong with Elaine, but Lucien her mate
can, like, get through to her through the mate bond.
Yeah. He doesn't. It's unsuccessful. But I said, Lucien makes me happy.
Yeah. Chapter 29.
Yeah. Feyre is super sore from training.
Yeah. Okay. This is where you finally get to find out the thing that he does a lot.
Oh, yay. Okay.
It's that he, like, goes down on her, but from behind.
That's weird.
They talk about it multiple times. And it's just like, like, they talk a lot about, like, she's laying on her stomach and he, like, lifts her hips up. Ooh. And I was just like, okay, like, it's fine. I don't have a problem with it happening. The weird thing is that's his preferred choice.
But,
yeah. And I was like, why? That's so specific that it stood out to me that it kept happening.
Huh. Definitely wasn't paying attention to their positions.
Anyway, the other important thing from this chapter, which I have to mention because I'm going to rant about it later, is that Azriel tells Feyre about how Miriam has this friend, Nephele.
Yes. I don't know.
I'm going to say Nephele because it seems Greekish. Not Greekish, Romanish. Anyway, who is gay. Like, she's just... he tells her this elaborate story about...
It was basically just a mom lifting a car scenario.
But like, it was like a lesbian saving her lover.
Yes. And she was really weak and no one thought she could do anything, and then she did, but she saved her lover. Yeah.
Yeah, because she had like these angel bird wings kind of thing.
Because they're angel bird wing creatures.
Yes, Miriam's people are.
Yeah.
And that's how, yeah, she like flew in and saved her. And it was weirdly biblical, but like with lesbians, which is fine. But this is the first mention of gay people in this entire series.
Yes.
This book is like where the gay people enter.
Yes.
And it was just really weird and random. And we'll talk about it later, but yeah, here's mention one, lesbians of the past. Chapter 30.
I just, one other thing I wanted to point out is that Lucien wants to explore the city on his own, and that made me a little nervous, because I was like, what's he doing? I think we find out later.
Yeah, that he's, like, doing good things.
Yeah. But he was very, like, I want to go alone, and I was like, why?
Yeah. Chapter 30, I almost wish Lucien had betrayed them for Tamlin, and had, like, that would have been great, but he didn't. He's a good person who doesn't just, like, manipulate people and pretend to be one thing when he's not. Anyway.
Chapter 30.
Elaine says ravens are coming, and then ravens come. Like, Highburn sends these people that are, like, raven things.
And they're here to kidnap Nesta because she took too much of the cauldron's power.
Yeah.
And now the cauldron isn't working as well as it could.
Yeah. And so they have, like, this whole fight in the library.
I said, oh, goody, they're going into the pit.
Yeah.
What's in the pit?
And in chapter 31?
Wait, no, I said what's in the pit.
Oh.
It's some kind of being. I imagined it as an amorphous cloud. Pharaoh strikes a bargain. She brings the thing company, and the thing will hibern men. I guess kill them?
Yeah.
And I also said, Elaine can see the future. That's clear. I said, I figured it out a while ago, but I didn't write it down, and I'm not gonna go back to find out when, but I did. It was very clear.
It was very obvious.
Her riddles, like,
were clearly the
things
the she
future. Was saying, things, the things would yeah. happen.
Yeah, and so Farrah figures this out at this stage because Elaine had said, I see human hands withering with age, and then she finds out from Highburn's men that the human queens... had, like, withered... One of the human queens had, like, withered with age.
When she got in the cauldron.
Yeah. So then...
Because she was supposed to become a fairy, and instead she got old.
Yeah. And then... Yeah, now I'm on chapter 33 somehow.
Yeah, they just... They're basically deciding that Elaine is a seer. And Elaine... Another thing she said is that a queen with fire feathers is coming.
Yeah.
And so now they're like, who's the queen with fire feathers? They gotta figure it out.
And then Lucien... decides to go find her.
Well, they figure it out right away.
Yeah, they immediately figure out who the
chapter 33 is. It's the sixth mortal queen.
Yeah, who has been cursed by a guy somewhere else.
Yeah, and Lucien's gonna go find her, and this is when I decided that we're never gonna get to war in this book. I'm like, we're already almost halfway through, and we still haven't met the other High Lords for the meeting thing that we set up, but mm-hmm. we do get to the war. I really couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and then so chapter 34. You know, as soon as you've decided mentally that the war is not happening, Highburn is, like, sieging the summer court.
Yeah.
Like, he's there.
Yeah.
Doing shit. And I feel like that might be a good place to leave off.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we're gonna cut it there, and we'll see you for part two.
Yeah, I wrote, dang, wow, right as I thought this book wouldn't have war has begun.
Wow, dang, crazy. Okay, yeah, thanks for listening. Check us out on our social media, which is literally just Instagram, and also we have a website. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you totally can. If you want us to do more massive, annoying books, we will do them. If you want more Amazon garbage, we will find it and we will give it to you. We actually haven't had a lot of that. We should probably get some.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.